Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Now tuned into the greatest.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Joey Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this week, been a huge, huge week. It's every week that I think we can come in here and go,
great.
I wonder what we're going to do today. And then 4 seconds later, we have giant news. And we have a lot of news to get to. But the first thing we need to get to, if you have not heard, Alexander Gustafsson, who has been talking a lot of trash about getting this sequel fight, got the sequel fight, and then he got injured.
The injury bug bit.
Yes, he was injured, and Daniel Cormier has stepped in to fight John Jones. And on Wednesday night, on UFC Tonight, it was a very interesting story that he told that I'm not totally sure I believe. But Daniel Cormier says, if you're not familiar with how Twitter works, in order to direct message somebody, you have to both be following each other,
right.
a mutual follow. Daniel says he's not actually following John Jones on Twitter, and somehow John Jones was able to dodge the Twitter sphere and send him a direct message and say, I hope you're ready to come to daddy.
Well, nobody said DC was an IT professional, but I believe he got it, and he posted that. So they volleyed back and forth. Before DC even knew he was getting the contract, John Jones said, are you ready to come to daddy? Something along those lines. And DC's response was great. He said, I'm ready, and I'm going to kick your you-know-what.
Was it ass? Was that the word that you didn't want to say?
But.
Okay, gotcha.
No, it might have been, I'm going to F you up.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Fair enough. And I don't – I'm super excited about this fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure I should be.
Oh,
I mean,
come on.
I'm not sure. I don't
Why
know.
Why not?
Because, like, the fan side of me, and we've had DC on here a lot.
Love DC.
And he has a great pedigree. Everybody you put in front of him, he beats them. So
undefeated.
I have no doubt – that this is going to be a great fight. But I wonder to myself if John Jones' reach is going to be too big of a thing.
So that is a thing. It's the longest reach advantage in the history of UFC title fights. So it's a full foot longer.
Wow.
John Jones is 6'4", DC is 5'11". So that is huge, right? But DC's accustomed and used to fighting monsters. I mean, he came down from a heavyweight to be a light heavyweight fighting guys who are always huger than him. So that's the question, the reach. The other question is, can he use his wrestling against John Jones? Can John, after John's performance against the last fight he just had.
Glover,
where he was able to actually, do dirty boxing and stay in close. That makes me a little nervous for DC, because if he can control Glover that well, who's a monster in close, maybe he can neutralize DC's wrestling.
So do you think, and again, this is, I will fully admit at this point, it's supposition. I'm putting the cart in front of the horse at this point. If Jones beats Cormier in a way that is typical Jones fashion, a dismantling and, and not necessarily Gustafsson-esque sort of performance.
Yeah.
Have we finally, I mean, I know he's already on the top of pretty much everybody's pound for pound list, but he still gets guff every single time he fights.
Yeah. Is that due to his personality, though? Is it because he's an arrogant jerk?
Well, but you're an arrogant jerk when you're undefeated, save for a disqualification bout to Matt Hamill when you were literally beating him to death in the octagon.
Elbowing him down.
I think you earn a little bit of that hubris and that moxie, but it's always fascinating to me that he gets these knocks every time he steps in. He's going to fight against Glover. Oh, he's going to get his – I hate that guy. He's going to get his ass kicked.
He just pokes everybody in the eye.
All he does is poke people in the eye, which I get that's part of the game and a dirty part of the game.
Yeah.
But until somebody actually figures out what they're going to do, I can't really fault a fighter for taking advantage of the fact – while morally questionable, okay, fine.
I don't think that'll be an issue this time around. I think DC and his camp is going to be smart enough to talk to the commission and the ref beforehand and say, hey, give him his warning now.
Right.
If he puts his fingers in my eyes, I want a point taken away.
And I would bet lots of money that doesn't happen.
I'll text him.
I mean, seriously, you have not seen that happen.
No. You know, one would hope that this is the end of the line for it, though. That somebody within his camp would have, you know, the business sense to do this.
Well, there's that, and then you don't really see it. There's two issues in UFC specifically that you don't ever see. You don't ever see when the guy's going to be taken down and he grabs the fence.
Right.
There is no automatic point deduction, even though there should be, in my mind, because I know in the rules meeting they tell you, you may not grab the fence.
It's so subjective. Sometimes it's an automatic point. Sometimes the guy wins by doing that and just gets away with a bunch of fouls.
Right, but it should be an automatic point if you've had a rule. That's the point
agreed.
Of a rules meeting.
Completely
that's your warning.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to make too much about eye poking being kind of the central focus of this fight, because it's a big fight and something that everybody should be excited for. And in segment two, we're going to talk about the other two fights that are coming down the line, which leaves a giant hole in the schedule, and that is you have Jon Jones, you have Daniel Cormier locked up, right? And they're so close that you can't really get another fight out of them before 2014 is up. And in December, we have two fights we're going to talk about in this second segment that are in the early part of December, which leaves a giant hole for the New Year's Eve card and what we're going to do there. And like I said, we will talk about that. That's what we're going to do in segment two. In segment three, again, I said on Twitter this was going to be a huge show. It is a huge show. Robbie Lawler will join us, as well as Clay Guida, to talk about UFC on Fox 12, a huge card for free this Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure.
You've got Robbie Lawler taking on Matt Brown. It is a title eliminator bout.
Yep, so Matt Brown could actually get a title shot. It's been said, Eric.
It has. I would like to see it, because Matt Brown, if you've not listened to the show a lot, Matt Brown is one fighter that I like a lot, who I have this theory that the more he wins, the further away from a title shot he actually gets. I said this is a title eliminator. I will wait to see what happens if Matt Brown beats Robbie Lawler and then has to fight Alistair Overeem for some reason.
Alistair Overeem. He's got to jump up to heavyweight.
You will know that Matt Brown is clearly cursed in the UFC.
This is going to be an amazing fight. Both of these guys go to the center of the octagon, throw everything they got at each other. Both of these guys' careers are highlight reels, especially Matt Brown on his most recent tear. How do you see this going down, Eric?
I think Robbie is going to win this. And here's why. Matt Brown has been on a tear and is a tremendous fighter. But in my mind, I like MMA math. It's my favorite game on the show. It's my favorite game off of the show.
Okay.
And when you compare the caliber of fighters that both of these men have fought, in my opinion, I think Robbie has seen a lot more high-level fighters than Matt Brown has. And I'm not saying at all there will be anything along the lines of ring rust or anything nerves or anything like that. Robbie has just been finding ways to win. And I like what he's got going on. I like how he's looked in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
And something that's a bit of an X factor, he has been in camp, and you will hear this in the third segment, he's been in camp since January.
Wow.
So he's been training consistently for fighting, not just training to stay in shape, since January. So he's figured out his body in a unique way that he can peak at these prime
he's
spots.
He's a good groove
and
right
so,
now.
Yeah, so he's in a groove, wins this one. He's clearly going to take some time off because Hendricks isn't ready, and maybe that will be the New Year's Eve fight. I don't know.
Right.
But I like Robbie Lawler. I love this fight. I'm very excited to see this fight, but I just like Robbie a little bit more than I like Matt Brown.
Both of these guys have got iron chins.
Yep.
Neither of these guys are going to go down easy. I can see a war for 3 to 5 rounds. I'm not sure if this is a 5 or a 3, but either way, 5 rounds of just beautiful MMA. Two guys going at it. And Robbie adding the kicks into his last fight. So he's still developing. I mean, the guy's been a pro for like 15 years.
Since he was like 8 years old.
Yeah, and he's still developing his game. So I guess I have to agree with you a little bit.
Well,
there.
And I just think if it goes to a war and you go all 5 rounds, given the caliber of moronic judges that we've had, they tend to lean the way that they feel it's supposed to go, regardless of what actually happened. And I think most people think it's supposed to be a rematch between Hendricks and Lawler, mostly because that's all Hendricks is saying.
Right.
I will fight whoever you put in front of me, but man, do I want to fight Robbie Lawler again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You know, you see that influencing, not on an overt level, but a subvert level. It seems like the judges tend to lean towards
Completely agree.
If the UFC was the WWE, what would be, you know, how the end of SummerSlam should be? That's kind of what some of these judges go for.
No SummerSlam, by the way, Brock Lesnar will be fighting John Cena.
Thank God Brock Lesnar is back. You also have Rumble Johnson is back in the cage against Nogueira, and that will be another fun fight. Rumble.
Yeah.
I love these comeback stories. I was a huge fan of Mark Hunt all through Pride. It was great to see him make that run towards the title shot at heavyweight. That was fun to watch. Rumble Johnson had tons of problems making weight, got it all figured out, found the weight class he was supposed to be in, and I think has looked tremendous since he's been back.
He has looked tremendous, and I'm glad he's at the right weight class now. I feel Little Nog's last fight was February of 2013, and he beat Rashad Evans. So if that shows the caliber of fighter he still is, because he gets knocked on for being an older fighter.
Well, but Lil Nog gets knocked on that because he's not looked at in some circles as badass as his brother.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's because he doesn't allow people to break his arms for no reason to want to keep fighting.
He does look 38 years old. I mean, he's 38 and he looks it, right?
Well,
Rumble looks like a 25-year-old NFL player.
But I think you could probably make a case and find some MMA journalists who are way more seasoned than you or I to have this conversation that those fights in Pride, regardless of what you think about what they were taking and putting in their body, which certainly adds to it, but if you look at Vanderlei and you look at Dan Henderson and you look at the Nog brothers and you look at Hoist Gracie and you look at Sakuraba, these guys have miles on them.
Absolutely.
In a way that up-and-coming UFC fighters like, I don't know, let's take Clay Guida, who's also on the card. He doesn't really look 32.
Yeah.
Not in the same way he would look 32 if he was. How about Krokop? Krokop has always looked like he's 97 years old, right? Those guys that came out of that older class tend to look like they've got some miles on them.
Exactly, because they do have miles on them.
Yes.
I mean, how many punches and kicks and everything else have they absorbed?
This is kind of my point.
Yeah.
The rules of Pride were a little bit loosey-goosey, so the UFC much more stringent and a fun fight. Clay Guida taking on Dennis Bermudez, who thinks that Clay's best years are behind him. Again, playing MMA math, Dennis has fought exactly zero ranked fighters at featherweight, where Clay Guida has fought in the last 6 years. He has only fought two opponents that were not ranked or title contenders or champions at one point, and holds a victory over Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, let's not forget, just in 2011, he beat the current champ, Pettis.
He did, for sure.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say his best years are behind him.
I wouldn't either, and the interesting thing about Dennis is Dennis has spent a lot of time talking about Conor McGregor and how unfair he thinks that is, and again, we'll get to that in the next segment. And Dennis has spent a lot of time trying to truncate and fabricate this war of words between Clay, who you're not going to get because Clay is just kind of
cool cat.
He's a cool cat. You said before we started, he's big into the dude.
The dude
religion.
The
dude
Big Lebowski lives on.
Yeah, and he's just kind of whatever happens, which is two things. It's hard to train for that because if you're fighting a guy who's just going to come what may,
you're not going to have more cardio than Clay Guida.
And you're not going to have more cardio. And Dennis has even said that when they asked him about how camp went, Dennis said, oh, camp has been awesome. We didn't really change a lot. I just got a little bit crisper. And you saw in the Road to the Octagon, he's going to this PhD program so they can measure his punching power, which has gotten stronger. All those things are great. But the glaring omission in his training camp was he had a very hard time finding people that could go as fast, as hard, and as insane as Clay Guida for all three rounds.
Who can? I mean, Clay is 100%. The guy runs into the octagon, jumps around the octagon, and then when he finishes, does the same thing. During the post-fight interviews, he's still jumping up and down.
Well, when I talked to him earlier this week, and you'll hear it in a second, you'll hear he's doing 10 things while he's talking to me. Because that's just like he can't even do an interview while sitting still. He's just that's just his thing. And so could be a very interesting fight. Bermudez, much like Darren Cruikshank, who's on the prelim card, two recent standouts of some tough classes that are pretty awful. A fun fight. I'm not really sure that Dennis has this one as a lock, and I'm not really sure. I'd love to get your opinion, Joe. If you feel that if Bermudez beats Clay, that's a title-worthy win.
No, he's ranked 12th right now. He's got to earn his spot yet. Let's focus on Clay first. I don't know. I guess I don't see him getting through Clay. He's just too well-rounded. He's too much cardio for him.
You don't even think, because Dennis clearly has the wrestling advantage.
He, you know, they say that, but if you look at Clay's career, he's utilized wrestling, his whole, you know, freestyle wrestling, his whole career too. I mean, that's his go-to thing, is wrap up a guy and put him on the ground and pound him out. He'll stand and bang too, but that's Clay's go-to. So I don't give the wrestling nod to Dennis Bermudez. Do you?
Do you think any? I give a slight nod.
Really?
The wrestling, just in the pedigree alone. I mean,
sure.
The fun thing,
MMA pedigree though, or just like collegiate wrestling?
Certainly,
pedigree?
Certainly collegiate wrestling, right. And I think a little bit of that bleeds over into MMA.
Absolutely.
That said, every MMA journalist has used this line once or 7,000 times. Every fight is different, and so once that cage door closes, who knows who's got the advantage?
Well, we can guarantee we're in for some awesome scrambles.
Yes.
These two guys grappling is going to be a treat for everybody.
So we'll wait and see what happens there. And then Josh Thompson taking on Bobby Green. That will be the start of the main card. I just don't see Josh having really any issue.
I don't either.
I like Bobby, but I just think Josh.
Yeah.
This is what Kenton calls these spotlight fights.
Feature fights.
Feature fights.
Yeah.
This is a feature fight for Josh Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. Get another W under his belt. I don't know a whole lot about Bobby Green. What's this guy's story?
Strikeforce guy.
Okay.
He's had some decent scraps, but I think Josh Thompson will be a big test for him.
Agreed.
Could be a fun test, especially since you've seen a lot of these guys that, as you just said a second ago, I don't really know about blah or whatever. You've seen a lot of those guys step up in light of these cards where you just end up on the main event, and maybe Bobby Green wouldn't normally end up on a main event.
Yeah, this is the biggest fight
on
of his
Fox.
Life. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that could be a fun fight if he steps up. The other thing, if you're a student of UFC recent history, you get to see the barista who is 1-1 in the UFC trying to retire Kyle Kingsbury. That will also be on the prelims card. So
can't wait for that.
Well, because I think if Kyle loses to Patrick Cummings, I think that's all she wrote, son.
Yeah, I'll probably be getting another beer and warming up some nachos during this one.
You're not even interested?
Not really. Are you in the barista versus Kyle Kingsbury? Really?
You know what would be awesome is if I would love to, A, get Patrick Cummings back on the show and then see if we could convince him to change his nickname to that.
I was, you know, when I looked at, I was hoping it was something related to
it's
that,
not,
too.
It's not. It should be. That, I mean, something. You know, that's.
Let's not forget the Darren Cruikshank versus Jorge
Masvidal.
Masvidal. I'll let you take that one.
Masvidal is, I mean, Masvidal is going to be a test. If you want to know, you want to know what Cruikshank is made of, and there are a ton of people, both on Twitter and on Facebook, that listen to the show, download the show. Love Darren.
Yeah.
Being a Michigan guy,
right?
A Michigan guy, specifically a Detroit guy. But Masvidal is one of those guys that he is no joke, and has put away a lot of people that they were trying to put in feature fights. You know, if you think back, George Gurgel, who I trained with for a number of years, there was a moment where Strikeforce was trying to make that a spotlight fight, George and Jorge Masvidal, and Masvidal just, I mean, he's a guy that you got to be on the lookout for.
You know, he got famous. Well, like, he started his career, like, doing Kimbo Slice fights and then putting them out on YouTube. So if you Google, he's actually, he didn't fight Kimbo, but, like,
no,
Kimbo's
but he was
protege.
He ran in those circles. Yeah.
Mighty weird. But I'm excited for this one. This
mighty
could be the
weird.
People fight. Mighty weird. This could be the people's fight. I mean, Darren in his sweet wheel kicks and heel kicks and everything else, this is going to be exciting.
This will be
too.
A fun fight. And again, we've talked about it. That's obviously the place to be. And what's awesome about this card is both are going to be on Fox. It'll be straight through
on
Fox. You don't have to go through Fox Sports 1 or anything like that. So be on the lookout for that. We will talk to Clay Guida here in a little bit. We'll talk to Robbie Lawler. And up next, we will talk about how awesome it is to be Irish, because it clearly is awesome to be Irish. And why not indeed? Fire up the Guinness. We'll be back next. It's Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Joby Wan Kenobi covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And we went to Dublin on Saturday and had a brilliant time. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, smashing.
The O2 Arena was literally insane. Everybody who had Irish in them or were adopted by the Irish as Gunnar Nelson.
Right.
You know, from being Iceland but adopted by Ireland, everybody looked great. Gunnar Nelson I think, continues to look fantastic.
Let's break that fight down a little bit.
I would love to if you could figure out a way to do it, because it just looked like he was bored, and then he dragged. He pulled him to the ground and choked him unconscious when he was done.
Right. His demeanor was odd. It was similar to like a Dean Lister in the ADCC competitions.
Sure.
He was so confident that he was like calm and relaxed. And like you said, he almost looked bored. But I think that was just out of confidence in his abilities. So they went one round and you know, Gunnar was not putting on, you know, a ton of offense. But the second he saw that neck, bam, he put that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, Henzo Gracie black belt Jiu-Jitsu on him.
And like I said, as soon as Zach sticks his neck out, it's like he, I don't know that I would say bored more than he was being patient.
Yeah. It was a confident patience.
He knew exactly what he wanted to do and was just waiting for his ability to do it. A la early Ronda Rousey. You know, she knows she's going to beat you with an armbar. She's just waiting for you to give up which arm that's going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just thought the transitions were beautiful. If you like jiu-jitsu, that Gunnar Nelson transition to the RNC rear naked choke was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Which leads us to the main event, which was Conor McGregor versus a replacement for Cole Miller, which was Diego Brandão. Diego looked like he quit.
He got touched a few times.
Come on, son.
He got touched. I don't think he quit. I guess he did kind of run around a little bit.
I don't mean that, but he got tagged and then was like, I want out. How do I get out?
Yeah, he might not have known what country he was in anymore.
Where's the way for me to get out? Because I would like to get out. And he got out, and immediately after, everybody and their brother was on one side of the fence or the other. Most of us, I would say, in the MMA media were caught in the moment, as we should be.
Yeah.
This tremendous crowd. He's got an Irish flag. He's on top of an octagon. He is affable and seems fun to hang out with. He did an hour-long interview with Ariel Helwani. If you don't like him by the end of that, there's something wrong with your soul, because it's just hard not to like a guy like that who's walking down the streets of Dublin and truck drivers are honking at him. You know, clearly a national treasure. And for a fighting culture like the Irish, it was fun to see.
He's their LeBron James.
Totally. And, the UFC hadn't been there in 5 or 6 years, and you could kind of tell there was that pent-up energy just wanting this thing to be awesome. And immediately after, Cole Miller comes on Twitter and says that Diego Brandão quit, and it's really easy to make a guy look good and all those things, which, look, I get why you say that stuff, but it's not like Conor McGregor picked that guy. He was going to fight you, Cole Miller. You got injured, and this is what they did. Yes, it's a late replacement, but that's the game. Not to cut you off, but they want him to look good because he's a superstar.
Yeah.
And that's why he jumped into the top 10 this week. That's why you see Dennis Bermudez moving down two spots and then having to bitch about Conor McGregor, because he doesn't think Conor has deserved it. But this business, as Ken will tell you every time he's on the show, is about money. And Dennis Bermudez, it doesn't matter how many people you beat that nobody's ever heard of. I'm sorry to say that, but in some respects, UFC is becoming like boxing in that regard, that you can beat every tough
filler
idiot
fights,
you want to, but that doesn't get you anybody's notoriety. And nobody outside of this room, most people in mainstream, again, I use my favorite analogy, which let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings on Saturday night.
B-dubs.
You know, and ask that guy sitting at the table who Cole Miller is. He will not know who Cole Miller is.
Right.
And that's kind of the point. But he'll know who Conor McGregor is.
Conor earned my respect this weekend, because I was a little bit on the bandwagon where you can't deny, he did sell himself into the position he's at right now.
So what?
So, well, let me finish. One, Diego didn't quit on his own. Diego quit because Conor was putting it to him. Two, Conor went in there. Like you said, the arena in Ireland was on fire, which is very exciting, and the UFC said they're going to come back soon.
As they should. They should.
Absolutely.
You go to Brazil every year, you should be in Ireland every year. I'm sorry, you should.
And Conor said, let's get a soccer stadium and sell this thing out. Let's do it huge, which would be epic for Europe.
And to frame that if you have not followed the story leading up to this event, they could have sold out the O2 Arena 3 times over. So it's not him making this up. You know, you want to, if you get Conor McGregor another fight, preferably in Vegas, so that, you know, more people can see it.
Yeah.
When I don't mean Vegas like It has to be Vegas, but I mean...
For local time.
Put him in a place where we can get him on Fox or Fox Sports 1 or whatever. And then the next one is a pay-per-view that's at the O2 Arena where he's fighting for the featherweight strap or whatever's going on. You know, whatever's
it's coming. So he went in that arena and did exactly what he said he was going to do. He was confident in his hands. So everybody said Diego's going to take him down, and clearly Diego is like a world gold medalist in grappling.
Sure.
So Diego's going to...
He looked like it on Saturday.
Yeah, not quite. Diego's going to take Connor down, and that's where he's going to own things. Connor went down with him with confidence, too. I was kind of thinking he would just have him stand up and stay in his comfort zone. No. He even got his leg tied up a couple times, but he was confident enough, and he put it to him on the ground. So Diego, in no way... was winning on the ground. He was taking a ton of ground and pound and damage from Diego.
And taking some chances that you wouldn't normally take. You
no.
know, when you see Husamar Palmares, grab somebody's leg, he's doing that because he knows that he's going to break it before you can knock him out, right?
Get out of there.
He knows that. Diego Brandão at no point had it locked in, and Connor knew that.
Well, you know... I think it shows his confidence that he was willing to even go to the ground and, you know, get tangled up with him a little bit. And then he won on the ground. So he not only implemented his game plan and exactly what he said he was going to do on the ground, but then he stood up and owned him. He was doing dynamic striking, and he didn't last a whole round. So he gained my respect. He did everything he said he was going to do, and I'm excited to watch him fight again.
You would agree, though, that Diego Brandão, not a super tough test, obviously. Not a ranked fighter. Not, you know...
Tough test.
By ranked, not, I mean top 10. You
right.
know, not a guy that...
He's knocking on the door, but yeah, you know, he's not a top 5 guy. He was still top 15, I think. And for Connor to run through him in exactly the way he said he was going to, he's backing up all this smack talk. And it's fun. It's entertaining at the end of the day. I love watching Connor McGregor.
And so since you love it, what I was just talking about actually is happening. As not only did we get Connor McGregor to spotlight in Dublin, but he gets another fight. He will be fighting Poirier at UFC 178. So he gets right back in there. You will get to see him in all of his excitement. And I think he beats Poirier. I think it's
greed.
It's game on.
Yeah, I think Poirier will be a tough, tough fight, but I give him that win. And then it's
I don't think that's an easy
shot.
Win. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if he beats Poirier, which he certainly could, I think it's. I think you've got a title shot there.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all.
And then the other news out this week, we have two huge fights on December 6th. You have Anthony Pettis taking on Gil Melendez. That will be the tough finale fight where the two coaches fight, assuming everybody, knock on wood, makes it there injury-free. And then we had a Nevada Athletic Commission hearing this week.
It was a doozy.
It was kind of a doozy. the good news is not only did Floyd Mayweather get a license for his fight coming up in September, but... Vitor Belfort was given a license for December 6th, so he will be fighting Chris Weidman. That will be a double big card December 6th, as Weidman and Belfort will be the headliner. Co-headliner will be Anthony Pettis and Gil Melendez, and they'll start to fill that card out. The other side of that, as we talked about early in the show, is that leaves wide open what we're going to do for the New Year's Eve card. And as I said, perhaps that's where that Hendricks fight ends up. Line.
Perhaps
Cain Velasquez is back at that point, but those are really the only two options to pair with Ronda and Carano.
So I was wondering if you're going to say it or not. Yeah, I think Ronda and Carano will headline. Well, I guess if there's a heavier title match,
Cain
we'll
would headline. Yeah,
yeah, but Cain's already booked. They're fighting in November, like November 16th.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. But Hendricks would still.
Yeah. He's heavier.
Yeah.
So just like boxing, that the heaviest title match. Leads the card, right?
So that would be the headliner, assuming that's how it works out, which I think sort of kind of works out in the timing.
I think you can sell Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey pretty hard, though. I think so.
By themselves.
You can stack the card with other, you know, top 10 fights, but I think you can sell that pretty hard. You know, based on fighting merit,
not necessarily, but
based on interest, absolutely.
If you put this on sale right now, I'm giving my money to DirecTV right now.
Yeah.
Just, even though
that fight.
Even though there is no scarcity on TV, so I can have my spot. Like I'm gonna buy it early just because I want it.
Can I ask you a question, Eric? What do you think about Vitor Belfort getting licensed?
Well,
in the lead up to it is one, he has already been dinged for using performance-enhancing drugs before. He tested positive for testosterone in, like, February of this year, and now he's going to fight in December.
The difference, I think, is that unlike Chael, who narrowly avoided a Lance Armstrong lifetime ban from the universe of sports on Wednesday, the difference being Vitor didn't do what Vanderlei did, and he certainly didn't do what Chael did. What Vitor did that everyone took offense to is didn't tell the media what was going on. It didn't release the test, right? But as far as I can tell in this whole process, he didn't outright lie to anybody. He didn't really try to skirt the truth. He didn't go on Fox and say that, oh, it's a misunderstanding. I didn't know was what was banned. And then I went out and shot up horse steroids an hour late. Like, he didn't do any of that stuff. Yeah. And so I think that's why there's the difference. I'm not saying that I necessarily agree, because we're either, in this case, I'm kind of a black or white guy.
Okay.
We're either going to allow PEDs and TRT, but they have made the determination that we are not, right? If you're not, you're not. If you get popped, you get suspended. And that's
Well, if you get popped multiple times, apparently you don't get suspended is the point.
The more times you, it's like a punch card. The more it's like going to, you know, getting coffee at Starbucks. The more times you go, the more free coffee.
So they released his levels. When he got popped earlier this year, he was at like 1400 something. We're not doctors. Where he's at today is 141 or 142. So he's 1/10 of his testosterone level when he tested positive. Is he going to be able to perform? Are we going to see, you know, TRT Vitor in there?
Well, I don't know that it matters. And here's why. I think you got, like we said, you know, at UFC 175, you got a brilliant performance out of Chris Weidman versus Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
So now, even if you get 6-year-old boy Vitor Belfort, because that's all the testosterone he can muster up to get in there.
He doesn't even have it yet.
It doesn't matter. Because you've got your guy, and Chris can start knocking guys off the list
and
start
list.
Making you know that issue that the UFC has. They need more star power, and right now at 85, he's your guy, and the guy he's got to beat right now is Vitor Belfort, because there's Jacare. I love that fight, but nobody else really cares. And Rockhold and Kennedy. Yeah, love those fights, but there's not enough excitement. I would like to see those fights, but most fight fans, again, we go back to Buffalo Wild Wings, they all know who Vitor Belfort is, so Weidman gets in there, and whatever the issues are, this is part of paying the piper, so to speak.
Right.
You did the drugs, man, and whatever the unintended or intended consequences that you have to pay for on December 6th, those are yours to own.
Yeah.
Because you cheated.
You still have to give him the fight. He
wanted the fight, so who cares? Who cares what his testosterone level's at? Because that's what you get when you cheat.
Right.
And it's not like they went to him and said, "You need to do this fight, or we're going to fire you." He's been going, "No,
I've been begging.
I will fight Chris at any point." Okay, here's your shot. 8-year-old Vitor Belfort.
Yeah. So it's to be seen, you know, what we'll get.
But I really don't think it matters. I think, you know, if you get
when they close those cage doors, I want to see what Vitor is now.
You're certainly going to see what he is, but what I'm saying to you is I don't know that anybody's going to care what his excuses are going to be if he gets shellacked like Dan Henderson.
Sure.
Nobody's going to care.
Agreed. Yeah.
Because
I agree.
That's what you did that. Nobody made you take the drugs. You took the drugs. All right. When we get back, we'll talk to Robbie Lawler. We will talk to Clay Guida, and we will cover the rest of UFC on Fox 12. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Before I get to Robbie Lawler, of course, breaking news. It's been a crazy week. Why not make it crazier? Dana White has announced they have re-signed Nick Diaz. Huge news, right? Okay, gets even bigger. The rumored fight for Nick Diaz Super Bowl weekend will be Anderson Silva's first fight back in the octagon. So not only do you get the 209 Stockton back in the octagon, he might be facing Anderson Silva. We will keep you absolutely up to the second informed on this as this kind of folds out over the weekend. But before that, we've got to get to UFC on Fox. And our next guest will be fighting in the main event against Matt Brown. Robbie Lawler joins us. Robbie, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I am doing awesome, man. I saw yesterday was the last day of sparring. The photos on your Twitter account, you look like you're in a really good space and very, very cut for this far out from the fight. I mean, I know it's only a week out, but you seem like you're in a tremendous space right now. Fair assumption?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is a seventh-month training camp. I've been training since January 1st, so I've been in shape this whole year and just kept it at a high level.
Do you like it like that, or do you want a break after this, you know, at some point?
Yeah, I'm going to get a break after this. It's a long time on the grind. I was ready for it, but I want to see my family and enjoy life a little bit more.
Got a big fight against Matt Brown, fight night on Fox, July 26th. Winner gets Johnny Hendricks. Johnny has been cleared to start doing some training and ready to do this thing and has come out and said, look, UFC, I will face whomever, but I want Robbie Lawler. That has to make you feel good, right?
Yeah, I don't really care what he has to say. I mean, he's a champ and all, but I don't really concentrate on those kind of things.
You don't even think that he wants to face you and see what a second time around would be like? That doesn't mean anything to you?
No, because if I'm in there and I'm the one fighting him, it doesn't really matter what he thinks.
Gotcha.
I just need to believe in myself and make sure I'm on tip-top shape.
And you've been in tip-top shape. This has been a great couple years for you. You're looking awesome. You're a fan favorite. The UFC came out this week on Twitter, and they put up this killer graphic that said, in 2015, which one of these contenders do you think will have the strap? And by a majority decision, most of Twitter thinks that you'll be the one with the strap in 2015. I'm assuming you would agree with them.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of work to do, and it's a ways down the road, but I'm on the grind, and I'm going to be ready.
Matt Brown, you are facing him on Saturday night on Fox, July 26th. Talk to me about this fight and what excites you, aside from just getting in there and fighting, because that's kind of how you've built your name, as being a guy who gets in there and just gets it done. What excites you about Matt Brown?
Matt Brown comes to fight every fight. He gets in your face and he wants to beat you down and look to finish fights. He doesn't sit back and look to outpoint you. He looks to beat you down and finish you, and it's exciting to fight someone like that.
Because your styles are such a great matchup, I'm assuming that you can kind of feel from the fans. I've seen on your Twitter account and on Instagram and on Facebook, the fans are really excited about this because this is a fight that people have wanted to see. We get to see it free on Fox. That sort of exposure, big for a fighter. Did when you got the call to be on Fox as a headline, what was your reaction to that?
I don't really get too excited about too much, so... I mean, like, all right, let's get back in there and get back to work. That's about as excited as I get. But after the fight, you'll see my excitement. That's when I show all my excitement after I finish a fight. So I'm excited to fight, and it's going to be a good show for sure.
Now, Robbie, you say you don't get very excited about much, but you said minutes ago that you had been on the grind for 7 months starting in January. Did you know that this was going to be a seven-month camp? And because you said you had kind of prepared for that. Was this kind of the plan all along and then take a break?
No, I didn't plan on any of this. It's just UFC needed me to fight, and I stepped up, and I answered the call, and I'm ready. So I just got back in there, got back into my training camp, and was smart about it so that I could peak at the right time for every fight, and everything's worked out really good. But, no, I didn't plan this. It's just the way it worked out.
Robbie Lawler joining us. He's going to be facing Matt Brown July 26th on UFC at Fox 12. And yesterday on Twitter, the Bleacher Report put out your new motivational commercial for them. How did that whole video come about, and is that something that I don't know a lot of fans get to see, the comedic side of Robbie Lawler? Is that something that you've kind of wanted to do for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. It was their idea, and yeah, it was definitely something out of character, and it was fun. It was easy to do too.
And
I didn't have to do much.
If you've not seen the video, it's on our Facebook page. Just search WOW Show. Robbie Lawler is joining us. I know we are getting towards fight time, and most fighters are not big fans of doing all of this media all at once, so I kind of want to keep these things short so you can get on with it. But I just wanted to say it is such an honor to have you on the show. Very excited. UFC on Fox 12 taking on Matt Brown. Cannot wait to see you in there, and wish you the best, and hopefully get to see you go against Johnny Hendricks towards the end of the year or beginning of 15. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you very much.
And from ruthless Robbie Lawler to a more laid-back cat, the dude joins us. Clay Guida is on the line. Clay, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Eric. How are you?
I am amazing. Big weekend this weekend. UFC on Fox. You taking on Dennis Bermudez. This has been an interesting week from a media perspective to watch him as he attends to say that you're past your prime. He's doing a lot of talking about Conor McGregor. He seems very distracted, which being a fan of yours for quite a long time seems like a really bad recipe to enter that octagon on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, if he wants to have his mind wandered, that's cool with me because it just makes our I don't call it a job, but makes our fight just that much never easy. But everything's going to come together in there come Saturday night, man. And we're focused. I don't get shaken. I don't get derailed by some quotes or some attitudes that some guys may have. And we're coming out there, man, to put it on. Put on another show for the fans, and that's what we do best. We're going to show this little East Coast wrestler what it's all about to get in there with a true savvy vet, and we're excited about it.
Now, Clay, do you think this perspective, and you've said it in the Road to the Octagon for this week, that you don't really see this as a job, you see it as a hobby that you get paid for, which you're very thankful for. But in general, as a person, and I've met you a number of times backstage at events, you're just very cool about everything. Has that really what served you for your career in the UFC?
You know what? We're very fortunate from where we started in the sport to where we've been, and more importantly, to where we're going to go. You know, it's we've never been the most talented, strongest, quickest, whatever. But I tell you what, doggone it, we come out there and we give these guys hell every time, and it makes them think twice, like, wow, what did I get myself into? You know, our opponent always leaves thinking, that's a tough little son of a gun. And that's what we want them to feel, you know, pressure, and because that's when a lot of guys buckle. That's when a lot of guys fold and start to make mistakes, and that's when we take over. So we're very thankful from the standpoint of, I accidentally got into the sport. I didn't plan to be a fighter. I started fighting before I even started training, you know. I've wrestled my whole life, played sports my whole life, and my older brother, Jason, had a long, awesome career in mixed martial arts. And, you know what, he taught me how to fight, and we're going to go out there, and I do this a lot for him and my family, and just to go out there and have fun. So I can't put into words how thankful I am to come from such a small little town and be able to fight on such a big stage and get closer to our dream, and that's being a UFC champion one day.
Clay Guida joining us, UFC on Fox this Saturday night, taking on Dennis Bermudez, one of the tough alum. So what's interesting about him is he's done all of this trash talking, but the one thing that stuck out for me is when he's been asked, hey, how is camp going? And he says it's going great. How was training for Clay going? And he could not find very many partners that could emulate you. What is it about that cardio that you were talking about? You were a fighter before you started training, but you have the style that is nearly impossible to emulate. What is it? Like, how did that come about?
That's what I think separates us from the rest of the pack. And honestly, guys, my honest question, I don't really know. My old man is just a workhorse too. My mom is, and I think I get my work ethic from my parents. And my dad can't settle down. I can't sit still. I'm sitting here doing this interview, laying in bed watching SportsCenter and trying to settle down, but know that victory, you know, awaits me shortly. It won't be long now before I get in there and get to do what I love for fun. And that makes you just want to go run up and down the hallways here in the hotel. So I'm super pumped, man. And it's hard to find partners, you know, that train like myself. And it's hard to find opponents to fight the way I do and carry such a high pace and just a positive, you know, surroundings and looking to go out there and just have fun and put on a show and just happy to be, you know, able to train, happy to, you know, have our health and go out there and just put it on the line every time because you never know, it could be your last. So I'm super pumped about this fight, and it really plays right into our game plan.
It certainly does. And, Clay, so Sunday morning, where is the RV going to take you?
Believe it or not, we flew out to San Jose because it's a pretty far trek from Albuquerque in the RV. But when I get back, we're taking the RV back to the Midwest, and then from there I'd love to take a little camping trip or a music festival trip and do some fishing with my friends and family, and then I'd like to go check out my summer home down in Florida that I got from my parents, and I miss them. I miss the house, and I can't wait to go enjoy it and soak up some Gulf Coast sun.
Nice. So are you going to stop by Lollapalooza then if you're heading back to Chicago?
Oh, we haven't been there in a couple of years, depending on when it's scheduled for.
It's next. It will be next.
A couple of good bands, and yeah, I tell you what's an even better festival than Lollapalooza is Riot Fest. A buddy of mine puts on this amazing punk rock and roll festival called Riot Fest, and it's in early fall. It's the second week in September, and it's just an unbelievable show, man.
Very cool. And where is that festival, Clay?
In Humboldt Park, Chicago.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. I was born and raised in Evanston, so I know exactly where that is.
You know way where it's at, man.
Absolutely. And one more thing before I let you go. I always like to pick some of the things that you guys tweet about that you talk that I find interesting. Can you tell me in like a one or two sentences what this Ultimate Tetox is from MateFit?
This is a tea company, man, that is they're taking the world by storm. These guys are unbelievable. Huge supporters of the fight game, and they got some tea that's just super healthy. And, they're making their debut in the Octagon Saturday night, and we're excited to have them on board. And, I got to thank VFD Sports Marketing for coming to a relationship with them. And I know they're going to be a perfect fit for the Octagon, so thanks again to MateFit.
Awesome. Clay, have a wonderful weekend. We look forward to talking to you again, seeing your hand raised on Saturday night on UFC on Fox. Have a brilliant weekend, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys, and keep following us on Twitter at Clay Guida. Have a great weekend.
Do not forget, all weekend we will have the results on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show, and you can always follow along on Facebook for all the breaking news. It is Way of the Warrior. Have an awesome weekend. Enjoy the fights. We will catch you next week.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show